Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and the first 13 verses of John 15. John 15, 1 to 13. This is Jesus speaking with his disciples at the Last Supper. He says to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Will you pray with me as we ask God's blessing on the preaching of his word? Lord God, I pray your anointing on our brother Neil this morning. I pray that your spirit would speak loud and clear through him to us as he interprets your word to us and preaches the good news of the gospel this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks, Yuri. It was like a metaphor driving here this morning. Things were really, really quiet on the roads. It's normally quiet on a Sunday morning, but man, was it quiet today. It did seem almost apocalyptic. It was so quiet. What's happened to everybody? But the sun was still shining brightly. It sounds like a Christmas carol, but it was what's happened to me this morning. The sun was shining brightly, and you know which sun I'm talking about. I had a funny little encounter this week with the worship team. We're speaking on love. It's the Advent theme for the day, and I was kind of Googling love songs. And I found to my surprise that the most popular love song ever, according to one online survey, was This Magic Moment. And so that kind of got stuck in my mind. So I looked at the lyrics of This Magic Moment and I put out to the worship team, "I would like Yuri to sing This Magic Moment." And nobody took me seriously, but I was entirely serious. I wanted to use it as an object lesson. So I have subsequently done a little survey of love songs. You may be happy to know that Yuri will not be singing This Magic Moment today, but the bad news is I'm going to sing. Not This Magic Moment, but I asked around what people's favorite love songs were. So I asked the lovely Kate what her favorite love song was. Guess if you can guess what it was. I will always love you. I was thinking about that from Kate. Felt really good. And Yuri said that his favorite love song was "Your Love Is Lifting Me Higher." than I've ever been lifted before. That was nice, Yuri. I could see him worshiping to that song, maybe singing it to his lovely wife. Now, you know, our pastor Mark is kind of stuck in the 80s when it comes to singing and songs. And his love song, apparently, is from the Jay Giles Band, and it's called Love Stinks. So I kind of felt sorry for our brother Mark. Just so you know, that was made up to be a little bit of levity in a tough time. I'm now going to dive into our serious word for this morning. So this is an unprecedented time. I think you'll agree that fear and isolation and financial hardship and sickness and death are our current real world. No hugs, no gatherings, no visits, no fellowship. Church, which is often a source of encouragement and community, is canceled. You can't even go to a drive-in church. What is going on? Has God deserted us? Is the vineyard empty? Is the true vine dead? Today we'll contemplate some of these questions and get answers from Scripture as we consider the love theme of Advent. Points that I would like us to get or grasp from today's Scripture in John 15 would be as follows. Jesus is the source of our flourishing. Jesus wants us to bear fruit and enables us to do so. God will intervene in our lives by cleaning us and directing us away from wasteful activities. Jesus shows us that love is about obedience and action. And love, that is our obedient action, leads us to joy, not drudgery. Let's clarify some concepts from this story of the vine dresser. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the vine. And if you've been to a vineyard, you'll recognize this funny look that they have. The vines are these almost like two big arms sticking out straight, quite barren, very few leaves, with clusters of fruit on them. The vines look tough and withered. They look like they're built to endure. But that's the picture of the true vine. The statement that I am the true vine is the seventh of Jesus' I am proclamations that are recorded in the Gospel of John for us. And these proclamations highlight Jesus' unique identity, his purpose, and his divinity. At this point, Jesus has the 11 remaining disciples. Judas has left when he shares this story of I am the true vine with them. And he was preparing his disciples for the difficulties that were to come ahead. He knew tough times were there. He knew Peter would deny him. He knew they would scatter. He had just told them earlier, in chapter 14 and verse 2, that he would be leaving. And this obviously would have confused them and saddened them. They probably didn't know exactly what he was talking about. And into this tough time, he shares this beautiful metaphor of, I am the true vine. Jesus wanted his followers to know that he would be their ongoing source of nourishment and sustenance during a difficult time. Just as the roots and the trunk of a vine continue to sustain and nourish the branches as they bear fruit. During this COVID time, it's easy to feel deserted. Many people are alone by kind of mandate or by choice, driven there by fear. And we need encouragement in this dark time. Brothers and sisters, the true vine persists. He is there. His strong arms are holding you, his branches, up. It's good to remind ourselves that Jesus is the source of our flourishing. He continues to nourish you. He continues to sustain you. He is the true vine. Even if it is bleak on the horizon, spring will come and fruit will be born. So Jesus is the true vine, and God is the vine dresser. The Father is the vine dresser. And from chapter 15, it goes like this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, or the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will bear even more fruit. So you and I are the branches. This is a somewhat humble role compared to that of the true vine. What we are called to bear fruit. So my life, the Christian life, is really about abiding, remaining in Jesus, and trying to bear fruit. Or maybe not even so much trying to bear fruit, but allowing fruit to be born through me. Again, even during COVID, God is working in your life. He wants you to be bearing fruit. So Jesus wants his disciples and enables his disciples to bear fruit. This begs the question, what is fruit? What does that look like? So, hey, Doc, you're supposed to be bearing fruit. So what's the fruit inspector going to find if he sees that I am bearing fruit? Let's look at Titus 3:14 in the ESV. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. So to be fruitful, I am to be a person who is doing good works and helping out when there is urgent need. Can you think of a time when there is more urgent need than now during COVID? So fruit and good works are used interchangeably frequently in Scripture. And we can think of fruit as an action, in this case a good work, but we can also think of it as character, the way we live our lives. And all these things are to bring honor to God. So it's clear from one of our favorite passages in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. So these are inner qualities that are nurtured by the Holy Spirit in your life. And you can think of them being nurtured like a vine dresser would nurture a vine to help it produce these fruit. And you know them, and we're just going to briefly review them. So think of a fruit inspector looking in your life and asking the question, do we see these characteristics? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And many of these have to be practiced in community, and it's hard to be in community now during COVID, right? Kindness, goodness, gentleness are community actions. Self-control is often a community action. So how can we keep going with these things? I guess it's also appropriate during the love weekend for Advent to realize that love is the first fruit mentioned. And we can really camp out there. Love is the first fruit. It reflects back to what Mark was saying about the role of a Christian. The commandment was very simple. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. So what is fruit? Fruit is something actually God does through you. The fruit of your life is how God receives his honor in this world. John 15:8 in our passage says this. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Much like the parable of the scatterer of the seed, we have in this story different levels of fruit bearing or crop bearing. And we'll talk a bit about those as we go forward. So fruit then can be a good work. I think we'd all agree on that. Fruit can be changes to our character that are imbued by the Holy Spirit. I think we can agree on that. And fruit should be something that glorifies God, and we should agree on that. And we need to be careful because it's easy to say, I'm taking credit for this action, to in some ways put up a big leaf on your vine. Look at this. Look what I did. And so I just have a caution for us. It's very easy to go there. That is a temptation I think all of us have. So Jesus enables his disciples to bear fruit, and that's reflected by our inner heart, the so-called fruits of the Spirit, our outward action, our works, what we do, and the final and always required parameter, it has to give glory to God. So what is the key to bearing godly fruit? It's kind of boring. It's not a thing we would necessarily just, oh, here's what you have to do. But listen to John 15:4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And that word is also translated abide. So abide, remain. So I want to bear fruit. I love those fruits of the Spirit. It'd be nice to be seen as doing good works. And I'm supposed to just sit there, just remain. And I think that that's the kind of the picture that Jesus is painting for us. Remain in me. Get down deep. When we are connected and intentional about our relationship with God, then we can start to bear fruit. We produce the fruit that God cultivates in us. It is God doing the work in us, through us. And our fruit-bearing supply is simply from him. Our abiding, our remaining. So question, do we ever stop to assess the fruit we're bearing in our lives? Do we ask people we live with, how am I doing with those 9 characteristics? I don't know. Kind of, it'd be a scary question to ask sometimes. How much fruit is coming forth in our lives? Has COVID complicated your ability to bear fruit? Well, in some ways, it has. We can't meet. I found it fruitful when I was able to teach English classes, and that's clearly not happening right now. So that fruit is kind of retreating. So what am I doing differently? But my effort is really just about abiding. Just abiding. We'll come back to that later. I want to tell a story of a friend. This friend has told me he'll give me $100 every time I mention his name during this, and his name is Bruce Martin, Bruce Martin, Bruce Martin. That's $300. He's the pastor of Calvary Temple. I have the privilege of meeting with him every Friday morning in an accountability group. And Bruce is one of these guys that loves to visit. Going to the hospital is his idea of joy. I think it's bearing fruit. That's what he loves to do. Got a pager. Oh, someone's in the hospital. Good, I'm going. Bruce Martin, 400. Bruce Martin, 500. We'll give it to charity, I promise. So what he's doing, he's calling every person in his church, and they have like 3,000 people on their church roll, and he's calling them. This is the second time he's been through the list of people in his church, and some people are dead, and some people have moved on, but he's having lots of cool conversations, and there's been times when he's called people right in the middle of a crisis. Oh, man, this must be the Spirit. This is wonderful. It's been quite cool to hear these stories. And he had a really good story of encouragement this week. He was in the R's and called the person in the R's. And they said, listen, Pastor, don't apologize for shutting down your church, because Bruce was, you know, sorry, the church is not there. Right now, we're going to be meeting remotely. Hey, Pastor, I'm going to church more now than ever. I love that live stream. And man, I've been to Bible study and I've been too afraid to come to prayer meeting, but I'm coming to prayer meeting now. And I think some of us are saying the same thing. Thank goodness for Zoom, right? So even during COVID, it doesn't mean we have to have dried up ministry opportunities. There is still something there to bear fruit. Yes, the growing conditions are difficult. I think we would acknowledge that. But people are also hungry for a good word. People are hungry for a good word. So I have a question for us. Are we bearing fruit? Has COVID made it too difficult? Let's listen to this language. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I will cut off. That's how I feel sometimes. I feel cut off right now. It sounds like it's possible to be in Christ but bear no fruit. A branch, you and I, on the vine but not bear fruit. How and why would that happen? It sounds like the barren branch is cut off and thrown away. And I can hear people saying, hey, man, I don't want to be cut off and thrown away, but it feels bad. I'm a little isolated. I'm at home. I got nothing going on. I can't go out. It's important for us to realize that when a person comes to Christ, they're stuck in the dirt, right? People don't come in all wrapped up and clean and perfect. Oh, I think I'll be a Christian now. They come with all kinds of issues and addictions and abuses and, oh my goodness. So most of us are still corrupted by that in some way or other as we live in this world, and this often leads to fear. I love what Kate read earlier in 1 John 4. Fear is still there. So would God separate branches from the love of Christ, according to this passage, if they don't bear fruit? And I want to tell you that I think the answer is no. As we look at one of this, it's a very important word we're going to talk about. So the vine dresser is going to intervene in people's lives, in the branches' lives, to help them bear fruit. And the vine dresser will do so by cleaning us up and directing us away from wasteful activities. And we're going to use the words of Scripture now to figure out why we can say that. For the Christian, sin is kind of like dirt on branches. It blocks the development of fruit in our lives. And so the first intervention for the vine dresser is to clean the branches of the dirt. Let's listen to this language again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And that word cuts off is aero, A-I-R-O in the Greek. An aero, oh, air. Yeah, okay. Translated cut off. And I tried to be diligent in reading what the scholars say of this, and I think the overwhelming agreement is that this means to lift up, to air out, to remove the burden, to carry it on your back in some ways. And so aero, every branch of mine that's stuck in the dirt, covered with grime, nothing's happening. Just get this picture of being lifted out of the dirt. It's a beautiful picture. I don't think it's the cut-off picture. I don't think that fits either with the story or with the relationship we have with Christ. Imagine the gardener's hands lifting you out of the dirt into a more secure, a more productive place. This sounds like true love to me. It's the love weekend, remember? A beautiful picture of tender, loving care for us, these feeble little branches that the powerful vine has entrusted to bear his fruit. We're just a humble little branch. Yet he says, I'm going to give you life right through your veins, and you can bear fruit. Is part of my life stuck in the dirt? I had a patient this week, and she was weeping in the office. COVID has been very hard for her. She's working from home and feels very isolated. And she's got a really tough job. She's a big, powerful person in industry. And it's kind of like 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. And then the only thing she can do is turn her laptop down. And what she does is she heads to the red wine. And that's her transition, to kind of go from the desktop to the couch top. And she's getting all kind of polluted by too much red wine. And she acknowledged this was dragging her down. She's a Christian person. And it was just kind of like, I'm kind of trapped in this dirt. And she felt this week, before I had the chance of seeing her, so it had nothing to do with me, just this, she was being cleansed a little bit. The Lord had given her this. Hey, girlfriend, that's not how I want you living right now. Let's help clean you up out of the dirt. So intervention number one, aero, A-I-R-O, translated cut off in our ESV translation here. I really think the scholars believe that it's lift up. Read on this. There are many, many people who have interpreted it this way. I think it's a beautiful interpretation. The first intervention, lift those silly little branches out of the dirt. Clean them off. They're covered with grime. They're not bearing fruit. They're struggling down there. Intervention number two, if your life bears some fruit, God will intervene to help you bear more fruit. How? Let's read. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So pruning. So big shears used to cut off branches, primarily deadwood. So if left to their own devices, vines apparently grow to a very dense mass of old wood and leaves with very little fruiting wood. The dense growth leads to poor circulation, difficult for air to get in, waste products accumulate, very prone to fungal disease, no fruit. So the primary goal of pruning is to remove the deadwood and get the unproductive wood out, and fruit is allowed to come. This helps to channel the nutrients to the branches that are there to bear fruit. I was shocked to hear, as I read about pruning for vines, that 70 to 90% of the deadwood would be pruned in a given year, which is when you see a vine, it's these two simple arms. There's not a lot of complications there. There's not a lot in the deep vine itself. So expect 70 to 90% to be removed. This is the metaphor that the disciples were given. They knew these types of issues. A question we would all ask ourselves, how much deadwood is complicating my life right now? How much deadwood is in me? The picture that Jesus is trying to paint is that less is more. Less is more. This is a simple statement. God, the vine dresser, is going to prune us, cut away stuff, so we can bear more fruit. And I think of, okay, well, what immature passions do I have? What religious deadwood that I have? Those might be the two extremes that need to be cut away so that I can bear more fruit. We can think of all these leaves and stuff as being impressive but useless. Look at pictures of a vine online. They aren't beautiful, but they are effective. The disciples knew grapes. It was a big part of the agrarian economy back then. They got it. This pruning concept would have been easy. They may have been pruners themselves, right? Got to cut that deadwood away. They knew what was going to be happening. They knew that sometimes the vines got so dense that nothing came of fruit. So what stuff in your life at home, what stuff in our lives here is choking out our ability to bear fruit? Do we have preoccupations and passions and things that are of no eternal significance? Maybe the vine dresser wants to cut off fear, anxiety, depression, self-centeredness, addiction from your life. Pruning helps to fulfill God's destiny for each of us. But be careful. If you are asking for fruit to be born through your life, this passage seems to intimate that something will be taken away. And I'm sure all of us have something that can be taken away. It really harkens back to this idea of repentance and fasting. We've been talking a lot about pandemics in general, a sense of God's judgment, and that God's people need to repent. And I believe a lot of that can be true. What if God is judging the world, even through COVID? So we have things that need to be pruned away from our lives. My own journey, many years ago, I used to be a triathlete, and one of the things I kind of sought after most of my life was to be able to do the Ironman. And this was before I was married, working in an emergency room. Would probably train for 15 hours a week. One of my favorite workouts was to ride my bike to Grand Beach, go for a swim, ride my bike back, and then go for a 10-mile run. And you think, that's of eternal significance. Good on you, brother. That's really going to accomplish a lot for the kingdom. But I was into it. I couldn't stop it. There was pride. A lot of things were wrapped up there. And then I started getting bad hips. And my hips wouldn't let me do those things anymore. And it felt like something of value was being taken away from me. It was painful at the time. But as I reflect on it, I was being pruned. I was taking things that were of no eternal value. And they were being taken away, and that was a good thing. It's a silly example, but it's true. So I have a question for us. Could COVID-19 be a massive pruning shear, a purging, a cleaning? Is that possible? Reflect on that this week. Could COVID-19 be something that's trying to clear away the deadwood in our lives, strengthening our need to abide in the vine? Man, I'm frightened right now. I got to dig deep into the vine of Jesus Christ because I feel scared. So pruning, we also need to realize, can be in the form of discipline. Hebrews 12:11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Fruit, righteousness, discipline linked together. I think this in many ways harkens back to what Mark was saying before as well. Discipline is hard. Is COVID discipline in some ways? Can the church take it as discipline? I don't know the answer to that question. I think we should ask it, though. The next point I would like us to consider relates directly to our Advent theme of love. Jesus shows us that love is an action. It's based on obedience. It's not an emotion. As much as I'd like to go back and sing this magic moment again, that has really nothing to do with love. Love comes from a place, and the place is Jesus Christ. And it goes to another place. It goes to other people. From verse 9 of chapter 15, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." It sounds like a real estate agent. Remain, remain, remain. Abide, abide, abide. Location, location, location. The location of our strength is abiding in Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus mean by abiding, remaining? We get a sense of settling in for the long term, putting down your roots into the vine, enduring, persevering, deeply connected to the power source. Jesus uses this word 10 times in this little passage, and you can kind of get a sense of the urgency that he feels here. He knows the human tendency to do without any type of being in the vine. I want to be a human doing, not a human being. In the Bible study on Wednesday, as Mark was talking about in Psalm 106, the psalmist is reflecting on the deliverance of the people of Israel across the Red Sea, a crazy miracle that had taken place. And it talks about the people of Israel. We had a bit of a laugh about this. Shortly after this, the people would not wait for the counsel of the Lord. Thanks, God, that was great. We got it from here. And it's like, come on. People of Israel, get it together. And then I look at my own life, right? Look at our own lives. How often do we do these things? Jesus knows this about our people. Does this feel like a time in history where we need to abide, remain, persevere, endure, cling to the vine even more tightly? I think the answer is yes. We need to cling. So the secret to bearing fruit. The master cleans us up. He lifts us up out of the dirt. The vine dresser prunes extraneous, wasteful things. Maybe they're religious things. Maybe they're immature passions from our lives. And we remain. How does it feel to remain? How does it feel to remain? The idea of abiding forces us to evaluate our relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a knowledge-based relationship. Oh, I know the truths of Jesus. It's not like that. It's not a fickle relationship, here one day, gone the next. I think by abiding, remaining 10 times, urgency, Jesus is saying, get deep, trust, depend. Not activity-based. He is saying, I adopt you. I adopt you. What does this relationship look like to you? Does the depth of this threaten you? I don't do relationships very well. I don't even think God likes me. How do you think God feels about you? That guy's a failure. I would say not. He's an evil sinner. I would say not. You should have known better. You're a Christian. I would say not. You are his beloved child. You have been adopted. The scripture says that you are a worthy heir. You have an inheritance. A joint heir with who? Jesus Christ. And then this prodigal son story keeps coming to me. That Jesus is waiting for you to come back. Waiting for you to come back. He loves you. He's going to run to you. I'm just going to read the story here, the consequences of abiding, without any interpretation, but they're quite stark. Verses 6 and 7. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And then contrast this with verse 7. If you remain in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Sometimes our master is remarkably binary. So true abiding involves obedience, and we cannot abide in Jesus without obeying him. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. I've got to keep his commandments. Love is about obeying and about action. It's not an emotion. So the end of our passage makes it very clear from John 15:13 what Jesus thinks about love. His favorite love song. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So to Jesus, great love is action, sacrifice, and obedience. This is the greatest love. So where would you say right now that obedience, action, and sacrifice are in your life right now? Maybe just ask yourself that question. Obedience, action, and sacrifice. Where are they right now? What action can I have during a COVID-19 shutdown? How about this? Pray. Phone, text, email, give, pray, repeat. You can do that at home. Pray, phone, text, email, give, pray, repeat. Simple during COVID. We can be obedient. We can bear fruit. We can have actions during COVID. The last point I want us to consider is that love reflected in our obedience brings us to joy, not drudgery. The Christian life, these works are not about drudgery. Our actions of service are to be joy. I have told you this, Jesus says, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. For this to give us anything about Jesus, it would have been clear that he was a joyful person. The disciples would have thought, well, I don't want that joy. You're always down, Jesus. It's a wonderful glimpse into what he must have been like. Again, I have a friend in my accountability group. He's a new Christian. He's a doctor. He's been a Christian. He's about in his 50s, but just been a Christian for a couple of years. And he told us a story this week of remarkable joy. He made a house call to a 94-year-old in an assisted living place. And she's a little bit demented and didn't really totally get it, but she couldn't move her hands at all. She had these bound up hands, things called trigger fingers, basically on multiple fingers, couldn't feed herself as a consequence. And so he was able to mask up and go in and inject all of her fingers, and she was able to move her fingers thereafter. And this guy was so full of joy reflecting this act of service. It was a beautiful story. A couple of years ago, that would not have been something he did. A beautiful story about service, obedience, joy tied together, fruit. So during this crazy pandemic, do you see a lot of fruit being produced out there? Bearing fruit is the destiny of every believer. We are to have abundant life, even during COVID. We should be bearing abundant fruit, even during COVID. There is a thief who comes to steal and destroy, and I can see his actions in our world. If you look into your basket and don't see much fruit, I want you to think about this week's talk carefully. Examine your life for evidence of God's fruit. If your life is consistently bearing no fruit, you're probably stuck in the dirt, or you're probably being suffocated by immature passions and religious deadwood. Either or. God will intervene to get you out of the dirt, and that intervention may be painful. Something you think is valuable may be taken away from you, and that may be okay. I'm not minimizing it, but it may be okay. The interventions are designed to help you, cleaning you up, pruning away the stuff to help you bear fruit, your destiny, as you rest on the powerful arms of the vine, the one true vine. So points I would like you to get from today's message are that Jesus is the source of your flourishing still. That Jesus wants you to bear fruit, and he enables you to do so still. That God will intervene in our lives by cleaning us up from the crap of this world, from our sin, and direct us away from wasteful activities, whether they are immature passions or religious deadwood or anything in between. Jesus shows us that the love candle on this weekend of Advent is about action, sacrifice, and obedience, not an emotion. I'm not going to sing that song for you. Love leads to our obedient action, and that obedient action leads to joy, not drudgery. Let's pray. Lord, it seems to me weird that these words of yours were recorded over 2,000 years ago, and yet today, man, they seem relevant to where we are. I would pray that each person that is here or that is listening at home would be able to look at their lives and say, you know what? I'm still bearing fruit. And if I'm not, I'm just going to dig down deep into this vine, and I'm going to open myself up to being cleaned. I'm going to open myself up to being pruned. And let's get on with it. Let's start bearing fruit again, even during a pandemic. Lord, we thank you for everything you give us. We thank you for your word, this Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.